the OTB Podcast Network.
But at 7:46, we said good morning to Vinnie Park. Vinnie, how are you getting on? How are you?
Yeah, good. How's things?
Good. We were having this conversation a little bit about Manchester United over the last couple of days, and you're always torn by teams who have this amazing ability to come back from falling behind, because there's obviously incredible spirit there, but what's wrong with the organisation? What's wrong with the playing stock that puts them behind in so many games? And this is a job that is clearly heading the right direction, but at some point you have to stop heading and you need to start arriving. So how close are Manchester United to being really good?
Yeah, I think you used the right word. You were torn between what's the right thing to do, because even in my own life, my two best friends in life are Man United fans, and we have debates, and you know, I can't get away from where the results are. They're excellent. But I do question certain things, and I think it's a real interesting topic. First of all, he doesn't get enough credit at times, Solskjaer. I think he's done an amazing job. If you look at Van Gaal and Mourinho, obviously David Moyes before that, but what, you know, world-class managers, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Solskjaer's gone in and he's put the DNA back in the club. Very smart with his appointments. People like Mick Phelan, Michael Carrick, Darren Fletcher, his technical director. So they're all the Manchester United way or DNA. And sometimes from the outside, we don't understand what that means. You see that Liverpool, that sort of Klopp suits Liverpool, Pep suits City. You know, you could argue Tuchel suits Chelsea now, or he's starting to look that way. So I think he's done an amazing job. And I don't think, even last season, getting him back into the Champions League with where they were coming from and the squad he had, I thought it was an amazing job. But ultimately, I think the next step is the biggest step. It's absolutely the biggest step. And that's where, and I think now that they've got back to where a position of strength where they can build from, is where he's going to be ultimately most challenged. Like the best managers in the world, I think you were mentioning Rodgers there a little bit earlier on. Look at the job he'd done at Liverpool, where he built so many departments in that club, got them to the highest level of excellence. And I love him, and I don't want to be critical of Rodgers, but ultimately needed someone like Jurgen Klopp to come on and take them to the next next level. So Solskjaer has to prove he's the right man for the job now to finish what he started. And as I said, it is the most difficult part, getting them over the line.
This recruitment period then, where they're looking for some players, is ultimately, I think, when we look back in a couple of years ago, he got that right, and so therefore that's him ascending to the level where he is a manager of a team who's won a league or has won a Champions League, and so therefore he's a great manager because of what he's done. But if he gets it wrong, it's like, well, he really understood the club, he knew what he was trying to do, but he didn't have enough experience to pull it off.
Yeah, and that's the challenge that, well, even in his own head, he won't be foolish, he'll know this. He'll want to be one of the greats because that's what he's involved with football for. And the recruitment is huge. And I think people have said things like, they need a big centre forward, they need this, they need that. I think it's a mixture of all of them things. I think when you look at the other clubs and you look where the squad currently sits now, and actually to explain it, because sometimes when I'm obviously talking from a tactical point of view, what I've noticed against them and different things, and it's just, I'm only throwing this out there as an opinion. I'm not saying I'm right in this, but when I had a look at the squads and I put together some slides just to explain it, so I'm going to stick them up on the screen real quickly, give you an idea of where his challenges are, and I just want to question some of them. So on them slides, we look at, I suppose the first one would be his current squad and where they're at now, okay? And in terms of their stylistic. So we would have heard Damien Delaney and Brian Kerr have this argument, and we all sort of seem to have these arguments ourselves. But I would have said, when I look at Damien's argument, in terms of United, or Bielsa has said United are tactically boring. Okay, so they play a 4-2-3-1 system, and really the team would have McTominay and Fred as two defensive midfielders. Of late, Pogba is played off the left, and that's ultimately their style of play, Pogba off the left, and then it's Greenwood or Rashford, it's Cavani up front, and it's Shaw, Wan-Bissaka, and that's their style. And it's not like anything over tactical. And when I move on to the next slide, I don't know, are you getting those slides there?
Yeah, we've got Fred, McTominay, Fernandes, and Pogba. Yeah.
Sorry, just on my screen, it's just down a bit. So that's really Manchester United style, okay? So, but when you move on to the next sort of slide, it's City, okay? And one of the great tactical managers is obviously Pep Guardiola. He has worked on different things. He's got his back three, generally Rodri dropping in, making a back three. He brings one of his, this time it's Cancelo who's playing left, coming in as an inverted fullback. And that allows all the magic of De Bruyne, of Mahrez, of Foden in 1v1 situations out wide. And tactically, that's his style of play at the moment, and he always is evolving, okay? And the reason why I bring up Manchester City, they're the team ultimately have to beat. The next slide is the next team they will have to beat, I feel, is Thomas Tuchel. And again, he's come in, he's got a load of good players that Lampard has signed, and he's made them a great team. Why? It's the same players. Again, he plays with that back three. He gets Asilio Queto or Rudiger, not afraid to break out that back three. And he always have Kante or Rodri or, should I say, Jorginho sitting in midfield. But Kante, we've seen, get forward as well. So teams have to negate that. And on top of the screen there, Reece James or Alonso, whoever it is, the fullback's really high and making stuff happen. And again, the front three. And then the next slide is someone we think will come back into the mix for winning the league, Liverpool. When they're their very best, they do that with Fabinho, world-class number six. Okay, so that's the challenge for them. They're the top four teams, Manchester United, now back in that mix. And when Bielsa says they're boring, and I move on to the last slide, ultimately I think this is where Solskjaer wants to get to tactically. Does this make sense to you?
Yeah.
In terms of, like, I feel everyone is looking at that team. So we've the front three, Cavani, Rashford, Greenwood. Okay, Martial can come into that, James come into that. And at the moment, Pogba is playing in that sort of wide left and he's playing narrow. When he first took over, he had Matic, Pogba, and Fernandes, and they were brilliant. But Matic's legs have gone. He was good enough as a number six many years ago, not anymore. So for me, I'm saying surely a centre half of the quality of Diaz, Van Dijk is where the money should be spent, or else, and a defensive midfielder. And while I wouldn't write off McTominay, I just feel they've got to get world-class players in these positions. And I just put this graphic together to show you, this is where the challenge will be, and this is where, for me, the argument has been with my own mates, the argument about being boring is Shaw and Wan-Bissaka then good enough to do what Robertson does, what Trent Alexander does, what Reece James has done? They play slightly different system. But you get the point of making what Cancelo does. And all of that is designed around allowing a little bit more freedom for those front three players with the door closed at the back. And United have to stop conceding goals. I don't know whether they can win leagues by constantly going behind, and albeit they've done brilliantly to come back. So I think the challenge for this, for him tactically, is to come up with a system that suits his players. But at the moment, he's had to keep Fred and McTominay sitting in front of the back four because it's two centre-halves, haven't got enough pace, aren't good enough to get Shaw and Wan-Bissaka on all of the time. And that's holding them back at the moment, I feel, from being a championship winning side. So it's just a different argument on it and a different discussion. But I think that's his biggest problem at the moment, where it's sexy, for want of a better word, to say they should sign Mbappe, Harry Kane, Haaland. And they should sign them if they become available, because we're all told United are the biggest club in the world. I think they are. But they've got stylistically and tactically a couple of other issues to sort of force, I would feel.
I think the Cavani contract as well might quieten the thirst for a centre-forward for the time being. And I think most Manchester United fans will agree with you that a number six is where that money should be spent. And then after that, maybe another centre-back. Like, it's interesting that you're picking out examples here from Chelsea and Manchester City, who at times, Chelsea basically all the time, are playing with a back three. Is there a world in which you see Manchester United using that just in certain situations next season? And I mean from the starting lineup's perspective.
Yeah, well, I don't think they have the players to do it. Like, there's no doubt Wan-Bissaka, for argument's sake, could probably do it. But I don't think he's good enough on the ball to do it. That's the difference with, say, John Stones. Wan-Bissaka is quicker than John Stones. But John Stones is and again, this goes back to stylistic. John Stones gets on the ball on the right, and he's looking for that pass to Mahrez. That's why Cancelo has come in narrow, because Mahrez ends up 1v1. Mahrez has been outstanding this year. So, and that's the point about it's if the board think they're close enough and you only need one or two players, because this is what happened when Mourinho finished second. They only felt they were just short. And he, to be fair to him, he said, no, there's a squad overhaul needed. And people were saying he's playing a game with the board, et cetera, et cetera. But I actually think he genuinely believed there was an overhaul needed of the squad. But what someone like Greenwood has done, surely that's meant they haven't spent 100 million on Sancho last year or whatever that figure is. So, like, Greenwood is on his way. They can't. He now must take a long-term view and say, his goal last night was a sensational centre-forward goal. He must go. He's ready to come true. And they've got James, they've got Martial. They're not that weak in the forward positions. It's the challenge is that number six. And I was thinking about saying, I'm sure what he's going to ask me, who does that job? Who is the next number six? Well, they're going to have to watch the recruitment part department. That is the hardest part of football, is recruitment. But I think staring them in the face, and they're the biggest club in the world, is Declan Rice. I think he can do that role. I think he transforms the team. And also, the job of managers is, you look at Ancelotti, what he's done to so many players, he's made them better. Klopp has made Jordan Henderson one of the best captains of Liverpool, or he's up there. He's won a Champions League, a Premiership. So I think he can, just players like, you don't write off McTominay. I think he's, Solskjaer talks about him having the DNA of Manchester United. But someone like Declan Rice, is that sitting midfielder, transforms the team, transforms them. It makes people ask questions then. Because I will ask questions of Wan-Bissaka is probably fifth choice for the England squad. So I think they need to improve that position personally. Yes, but at the same time, Wan-Bissaka 1v1 is probably one of the best defenders in the world. But to go to the next level of Cancelo, of Trent Alexander, of Robinson, these fullbacks, you've got to have a bit more about you. So I think by stylistically changing the shape, which I think you want it, and playing Pogba as a number eight, which I think he can be, there's going to be huge questions of him as a manager, and his recruitment is so important. I think you've got to spend big, big money on a centre-half and a defensive midfielder in the same way as the difference Diaz made for Manchester City. And by the way, it's not easy. They spent big money on Laporte, if you remember, and wouldn't say it didn't work out, but he just didn't find form at the right times. Or Liverpool signed a defender and a goalkeeper, which transformed the whole team. So his recruitment is huge. It's massive. And I think stylistically and tactically, he's going to have to come up with a way of breaking teams down now, that teams are now respecting Manchester United more. And that's because of the work he done, to be fair.
Declan Rice kind of works in a couple of different ways in the, looking back at the slides that you showed us, because he's that defensive midfielder who obviously can turn your centre-back partnership into a three whenever you need it to, but also frees up Pogba from some of the responsibilities and is kind of this perfect trio in midfield where it's Pogba doing what he's supposed to do, and you've got Rice as your insurance blanket, and then also you have Bruno. So it works in both lines.
It does, and that's where, as I said to you, the recruitment is so, so difficult at the highest level, because West Ham now have a good idea. Manchester United are going to come calling for this player, but so probably are a couple of other clubs. So the price is going to dictate it, but listen, that's the point. I mean, Jordan Sancho for 100 million or Declan Rice for 100 million. Like, Greenwood is, Sancho played, and Jordan Sancho may turn out to be the next Ronaldo or whatever. We don't know. I'm not, he's a quality footballer. But for what Manchester United need now, it's not about being shiny and pleasing the fans in one sense. It's about given Solskjaer the tools to make this team better and tactically better. Because I think the form at Old Trafford, I think United are best away when teams open up against them a little bit, and the pace of Rashford, Greenwood, Fernandes on the counter-attack is brilliant. But I think where they struggle at home, and part of the reason they struggle at home is teams sit in a little bit against them. And that's when I don't think Shaw's been in people's team of the year this year. But I just mean him and Fernandes then in modern day football, you've got to be brilliant in the fullback areas. And are they brilliant? We don't know yet until we get them higher up the pitch and see where it is. Sorry, when I say Shaw and Wan-Bissaka, the two fullbacks. So that's where Rice, for me, is one fix. Someone like Ndidi, maybe what they end up with at Leicester. That's just two that's in front of their eyes in sort of the Premiership. But they're going to have to get a centre-half as well. They're leaking too many goals. And if you look at what they've done this year, they've basically the same record as City, more or less, except I think City have drawn 5 games, they've drawn 10. And that tells you it's a fine margin, but it's a big, big step as well at the same time, because I think Chelsea are going to improve under Tuchel, and we presume Liverpool are going to get back to their best under Klopp. So he has massive challenges. It's not we're just to chase City. I think they've got to stay ahead of Chelsea and Liverpool.
I can see how Declan Rice improves the defence as well, but the centre-back issue is one that we should just touch on here. They can't move on from Harry Maguire because they're not going to find a buyer who pays them the money that they spent, and nobody wants to take on Maguire because he's not the one missing piece for any of the other contenders. No European team is going to sign him. Harry Maguire they're stuck with him in some ways. The partner for Maguire, Lindelof, has kind of eventually touched off by at the moment and seems to be getting the nod for most of the big games. What's the issue in the partnership? Is Maguire an issue, or is somebody capable of partnering Maguire and elevating that partnership?
So he needs someone to elevate him, I think. I don't think he's the problem. I think he's up there. He'd be England centre-half, etc., etc. But England are going to have challenges because if it's John Stones playing beside him, and it's good to use England because that tells you that. Because if John Stones, who is a brilliant centre-half at Man City, the team that's going to win the league, him and Harry Maguire probably won't work great together, and they'd be vulnerable to pace. And Southgate will be wary of that, okay? And that's where he'd probably be careful with which fullback plays with. So to answer your question, I think he needs a really quick centre-half with him. And ultimately, this is the difficult part in football. As I said, City spent big, big money on Laporte and it didn't work out. So he's got to have a quick centre-half with him and someone who's good on the ball. If United are now going to become a dominant team. So there's challenges with that. When you look around, world football, who is that person? I like Fofana at Leicester, but remember they spent 30 million on a 19, 20-year-old kid who's had 2 or 3 years. Beyond that, there's not a huge amount of centre-halves. You're looking out, there's Kumbali at Lazio, there's Iheanacho at Red Bull. There's all these players, but there's no guarantee they're going to work out. That's why I say the next step is the most difficult for them. So, long-winded answer, sorry, Jair, but he needs pace beside Harry Maguire. Really needs pace.
Would it be ridiculous to stick Aaron Wan-Bissaka in centre-back and turn him into a centre-back given his defensive qualities? I know you made the point that he's not great on the ball, but maybe he's good enough for a centre-back if you sign a Declan Rice and then you're looking for a right-back, and that's probably easier to find than it is to find a brilliant centre-back?
Yeah, no, there's an argument for that. I mean, when you look at Liverpool, again, using Liverpool, when Fabinho goes in as that defensive midfielder, Nat Phillips and whoever it is, we've seen Williams the other day, but Kabak, is it the Turkish guy? Fabinho made such a difference to them defensively, but they were still ultimately vulnerable against Real Madrid with the ball over the top at the highest level. And this is what we're talking about. We're talking about getting United back into Champions League quarterfinals, semi-finals, you know, because them games can go either way, finals, winning premierships. it's something that maybe over the he can investigate, but ultimately I think they've got to spend big on someone top class in that position. And remember, I think if Ferguson's DNA is back in this club, remember what he would have done. He probably would have bid, I don't know, 40, whatever the figures were back at the time. Well, he'd probably go after someone like Laporta City. He wouldn't be shy about doing that, you know. He'd done it taking Arsenal players at the pump, like if you remember Van Persie. So he wouldn't be shy about doing it. I think they should try a cheeky one to Laporte and see can him and Maguire become a good partnership. Or they've got to find a gem there. The World Cup and the scouting department and watching the World Cup this year is important for them. So I think it's huge. I think it's huge for them. It can just as easily regress at Manchester United as it can go forward. And I think them. I tried to illustrate, it's just a discussion point, illustrate where I think the challenges are now, because as I said, I think you respect them now and you drop off a little bit more and you say, right, come and break us down. Yeah, I think you've struggled with that.
Look, he's definitely fixed one of the issues in that there was no real belief that the entire project was making progress. That's clearly there, and he's got Pogba back playing well. I don't know what you think about Pogba. Do you cash in on Pogba now that he's playing well? He's going to go to the Euro. He's going to have a good scummer. It's going to be an opportunity. Maybe you can convince Paris Saint-Germain if Mbappe goes to spend that money on Pogba, and all of a sudden you have that long-term money that you can sign somebody else if you want to. I don't know where you stand on Pogba.
Yeah, I think Pogba is world-class. I think him, Fernandes, Cavani are definitely world-class. I think there's a lot of players there that can go to the next level, like Greenwood, Rashford. They're almost there, and you need world-class players around them. And that's why I used Henderson earlier on as an example, where you can kick on if the team is right. Great managers, brilliant managers make, you know, very good players, brilliant players. So I like Pogba. I keep him at the club. Unless there's times where teams cash in on players. You remember Liverpool cashed in on Suarez and made them a better team as a result of it. So if big money came in for Pogba, fine, but make sure you have a replacement for him that's equally world class. And I think when you look at the goal against Roma, the first goal often is so important in games. Obviously Pogba ball into Fernandes, his step over, Cavani puts it in behind. It's just a world class goal. And they're all, them three seem to be on really on a different wavelength. And you can see them grabbing Greenwood, and he's coming along as a result of being great players. And that's where I don't think the challenge for them is from that front up. I do believe that their fullbacks may be short, maybe. But if they fix the six and the centre half position or the defensive midfielder, well, then we can start questioning that. And then it's a smaller fix. It's only one or two players. So it is. Listen, I keep saying it. They're close, but the next step is massive. And is he the right man? We're going to find out, I think. Because I think there's a bit of harmony there. And I think, ironically, the whole European Super League thing means the owners are on the back foot. And they'll probably, if they're going to stay at the club, probably going to have to throw money at it, and so it might work out in Solskjaer's favour.
Vinny, good stuff. Thanks a million. That was great.
Thanks a lot. Thanks,
Vinny,
lads.
Vinny Part there with the brilliant analysis of exactly what Manchester United need to do and why and maybe who.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.